This is Paul Mills. Thank you for listening to this message from God's Word. It is my prayer that God will speak to you today, bring hope, healing, and direction in your life.
Take your Bibles, please. Turn with us to the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. How many of you know when we leave the results up to God, it usually turns out better? When we try to make it happen, we end up usually with a mess. When we say, God, we put it in your hands, and I'm glad we can trust God. 2 Peter chapter 1, would you stand with us please for the reading of the Word this morning? I'm beginning a new series titled, What God Has Promised. God has given us great and precious promises. Every one of them are ours, but we have to know what they are and we have to claim them. So over the next few weeks, we're going to be sharing some of the promises of God. And you may be walking beneath your privileges. You may be walking beneath what God has already paid for. It's a terrible thing if someone has left you a lot of money, and you never know about it. You have to live as a pauper when someone died and left you an immense amount. Now, we need to know what it is that God has already paid for, and we need to be able to walk in the privilege of claiming that. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. His divine power, speaking of Christ's divine power, has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His glory and goodness. Through these He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you might participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Lord, I want to thank you that you loved us so much that you died for us. You paid not only for our sin, Father, you paid for our redemption. You paid for our victory. You paid for our abundance. And I pray, God, that as we look at your word this morning, we would be reminded of what you paid for, and that we might come and claim and appropriate every provision, that we might not live beneath our privileges, but, Lord, that we might walk in that complete victory and that fullness that you have so abundantly provided for us. Father, I thank you for your people. I thank you for this service. I thank you, God, for what you have planned for this service. And I pray, Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Work by your Spirit. Move in your people today, I pray in Jesus' name. And everyone said together, and amen. You may be seated. In your bulletin this morning, there are notes. And I encourage you to take those because I want to cover some scripture. I want you to have record, written record, of what we have said today so that when you get home, you can be reminded of the promises of God. One of those promises is found in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 56. It is written in your notes. I encourage you to follow with me. It says, "Praise be to the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel, just as he promised. Not one word has failed of all the good promises he gave through his servant Moses." Not one word has failed of all the good promises he gave through his servant Moses. A scripture that's not in your notes, and you might want to jot it down so you can look it up later, is 2 Corinthians 1:20. says, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. No matter how many promises He has made, they are yes in Christ. Now, there are three things that I want to touch this morning. Number one, God has promised to answer prayer. That's a wonderful thing. He has promised to answer prayer. I've listed Psalm 91. I'll come back there in a moment, but I want to quickly touch some of these other verses this morning. Jeremiah 33:3, it says, call to me, and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. What a privilege it is to come to God in prayer. The old hymn of the church that we sing, what a friend we have in Jesus. What a privilege to bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. That's not quite right, but almost right. I had brain surgery. Blame anything on that. Isaiah 65:24 says, before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. Before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. Luke 11:9 says, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. To him who knocks, the door will be opened. You know, all we have to do to receive that is to obey and do it. To call, Perry. To ask. To seek God. Everyone who seeks finds. Everyone who asks receives. Many of us put up with things we don't have to put up with. We say, well, that's just the way life is. No, that's not the way life is. We have an advocate with the Father, Christ Jesus, the righteous. We can come to God in prayer and say, Lord, I claim your healing power. Lord, I claim your wisdom. I claim your strength. I claim your favor. Lord, I claim what you said was mine. Luke 11, verse 9. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. To him who knocks, the door will be opened. John 15:7. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. If his words remain in us and we remain in him, we can ask what we wish and it will be given. Now, does our praying have to align itself with the word of God? Yes. We have to ask according to his will. But ladies and gentlemen, it's God's will that none perish, but all come to repentance. Amen? That's God's will. When you're praying for your family and your loved ones and for our world, it's the will of God that they come to know Christ. It's God's will that you be healed. He says, above all things, he wished that we may prosper and be in health, even as our soul prospers. That's 3 John 2. When we pray according to the word of God, we're praying according to the will of God. Thank God for his word. 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know that if he hears us, whatever we ask him, we know that we have whatever we have asked of him. How do we know what the will of God is? We know the will of God, first of all, by knowing the word of God. What are his promises? And we know the will of God by knowing the voice of God, letting him speak to us. Ladies and gentlemen, God has promised to answer our prayers. That is part of his promises to us. We are not helpless. We are not victims. We are those that have been given the power of His name, where two will agree as touching anything they ask, it will be done. We can shake heaven and earth because we have the right to pray. Amen? And when those hard places come, I was at the bedside at the hospital of Yvonne this last week, and she's been through so much suffering. I told her, I said, Yvonne, enough is enough. And sometimes you just have to, your patience just has to wear out. Enough of this patience nonsense. We're going to go kill something. Amen? And I may not have been real Baptistic in my prayer, but I said, enough's enough. I said, in Jesus' name, heal this woman. Touch her. Amen? Amen. God hears and answers prayer. And there's just a time we need to rise up and say, Lord, I claim the promises of your word. Now, does that mean you'll never go through a trial? No. Does that mean you'll never go through a problem? No. It simply means that when it's all over, God wins and the Word of God stands. And I've prayed this, Jim, I've prayed it many times, God, either heal them or take them home to heaven. One way or the other, heal them. And I believe that. Perry, I believe that. Again, that may not be real Baptistic, but I believe it's biblical. God, either heal them or take them home. Number two, we're talking about what God has promised. He's promised blessings. Exodus chapter 23, verse 25. Again, I encourage you to take your notes. Worship the Lord your God, and His blessing will be on your food and water. I will take away what? Sickness from among you. And none will miscarry or be barren in your land. I will give you a full lifespan. It's a pretty good promise for old people. Amen. Not that any of you would fit that, but worship the Lord your God. That means, Lord, you're worthy. I bless you. I don't understand everything I'm going through. I don't even agree with everything I'm going through. But Lord, I trust you that you know what is best, and I praise you in everything. I give thanks. Why? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We do it because God said to do it. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Worship the Lord your God. His blessing be on your food and your water. I will take sickness away from among you. Psalm 81:16. But you would be fed with the finest of wheat, with honey from the rock. I would satisfy you. This is God's promise, ladies and gentlemen, to you and to me. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 23. He will also send you rain for the seed you sow in the ground. And the food that comes from the land will be rich and plentiful. In that day your cattle will graze in broad meadows. Now again, we're talking about what God has promised. Oh, yes, the enemy may come in for a season, but the Lord is going to lift up a standard against him. Amen? Weeping may endure for the night, but joy will come in the morning. You may go through that hard place. You may go through that hour of trial. Folks, God is going to be there to bring you out the other side of your trial. Malachi 3:10. Says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. The tithe is the first 10% of our income. He said, you bring it into my house, that there may be food there. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. You'll have to go down here and rent one of these portable storage places. Is that what the word says? Almost. He says, you bring the tithe into the storehouse, I'm going to bless you so much, you're not going to have room enough for it. You'll have to open a new bank account. You'll have to rent a new storage place. You'll have to in some way enlarge it, stack it up higher in your garage or something with it, because I'm going to bless you. Somebody needs to hear this morning. You put God first. You honor Him with the tithe. You honor Him with your offerings. And see if He doesn't pour out so much on you, you will not even have room to receive it. You'll be looking for new ways to invest it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops. The vines in your fields will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. I don't care what it looks like today. You say, God, I'm going to put you first. And God said, if you do that, I'll put you first. Matthew 6:33 is one of my favorite verses, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Get your priorities right, folks. Put first the Lord and His work and His kingdom. And God said, I know the things you need. I'll see that those things are provided for. You make sure that my kingdom is provided for, and I'll make sure you're blessed. That's what it says. Number three is cleansing. Isaiah 1:18, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet. Has anybody in this room ever messed up besides me? Good. Come now, let us reason together, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. That is God's promise of forgiveness to you, ladies and gentlemen. Hebrews 9:14, how much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God? How much more then will the blood of Christ, oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Thank you. That's the word I'm looking for. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from how much sin? How much sin is all sin? Does that mean your past sins? What about your future sins? What about your present sins? What about the big sins? All sin. We walk in the light as He is in the light. We have fellowship one with another. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. You bring it to Him. You say, Lord, forgive me. I claim the power of Your blood. And ladies and gentlemen, what He did on the cross for us that day cleanses us from all sin. Gives us right standing before Him and empowers us and enables us to walk in victory. Ephesians 1:17, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. In Him we have redemption through His blood. The first time that I ever heard the word redemption, I was about 5 years old and we were on our way to the green stamp store. Does anybody remember redeeming stamps at the green stamp store? First time I ever recall hearing the word redemption. Terry's looking at me saying, I can't believe he just said that. All I knew was we had licked stamps till my mouth wouldn't move. We those stamps in that book. And all I knew was we walked in that store and we carried those green stamps and they gave us stuff back. That's all I knew about redemption. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. He took my place. He took my shame, my sorrow, my failure, my pain. He took everything that I was not, and He gave it to me. And I walked out. Instead of having failure, pain, I had forgiveness and mercy and righteousness and a home in heaven and hope. I had the things that He promised to me because of His love. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. That's how much God loved me. He loved me so much that if I had been the only one that would have ever accepted Him, He still would have died for me. He gave me the promise that if I will call upon Him, He will come in and live inside of me and abide with me. Now I want to close looking at Psalm 46. Turn there quickly with me, please. Psalm 46. I just want to bless you with this. And then we'll go home. Psalm 46, beginning in verse number 1. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Be honest with me, how many of you have ever been in trouble? I thought so. And trouble comes in a lot of different ways. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river Brother Jim, there's a river. Perry, there's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is with her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts His voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations He has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. Now hear me, there's somebody going through a lot of noise in your life right now. There's a lot going on. That noise may be coming from pain in your body. It may be coming from financial situations. It may be coming from doctors. It may be coming from your children. I don't know where the noise is coming from in your life, but you're going through noise. And it's not good noise. It's bad noise. The devil's telling you, this is the big one, Elizabeth. Anybody remember Sanford and Son? When the devil's telling you this is the big one, Elizabeth, you're going down. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with who? Us. Who is an us? Are you an us? The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Ladies and gentlemen, He is the one that goes before us and fights the battle. The battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. God is the one who started a work in you, and God's the one that will finish that work. See, I don't know how that's going to happen. You don't need to know how it's going to happen. You just need to know who's going to make it happen. And so we trust Him. And having done all to stand, we just stand. Say, God, You're a mighty God. The doctor has said this. I don't know what to say about it. I just know what Your Word says. Your Word says that by Your stripes I'm healed. That's all I know. And Wanda, we have a decision to make, don't we? We either believe what the doctor said or we believe what God says. We look at our natural circumstances, the lives of our children. We look at our money. We look at our whatever it may be. And it says one thing. And all we know is the promises of God say something else. And so we come back to a place of saying, God, I choose to believe Your Word. I stand upon Your Word. And I believe that Your promises are yea and amen. And they're true. Your Word says You'll never leave me or forsake me. Your Word says You're going to be with me all the way. And I come today and I believe Your Word. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank You for the Word of God that never changes, the Word that never fails. I want to thank You that heaven and earth may pass away, but Your Word will never fall. It'll never fail us. So, Lord, we come this morning, and whatever we're going through, whatever circumstances, whatever situations of our lives we may find ourselves in, I come today and I confess that You are a faithful God. Your mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. Father, Your grace is unlimited. We bring our children, our grandchildren, our nation, our communities, our lives, our jobs, our businesses. And we say, God, You're in control. So all we can do this day, come and stand upon what Your Word says. Your Word says You will never leave us. You will never forsake us. Your Word says that You're greater than any trial. So we love You this morning. We love You this morning. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, how many would say, Pastor, I don't know where I stand with God. Don't have the assurance of forgiveness of sin, but I want to have that. I do believe that Jesus is God's Son. I do believe He died for my sins. I do believe He will forgive me if I ask Him to. And I'm asking Him to come into my heart, forgive me of sin, be Lord of my life. Can I see Your hand wherever you may be across this room? Pastor, I do not know where I stand in my relationship with Christ, but I want to. Pray for me. Pray for me. How many in this room would just be honest and say, Pastor, I've been going through some hard places. and I've wobbled. I've allowed the trial to almost knock me off my foundation. And I just want to come and confess that whether I understand everything I'm going through or not, I believe that God's a good God. And I choose to bless the Lord this morning. So in my trial, in my hard place, I just want to come and say, God, I trust you to bring good out of it, to bring me through victorious. And I just want to make that confession. I'd like to see your hand. I'm going through a hard place. I just need to make that confession. I see those hands across this room this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you're a good God. And so we trust you. We bless you. We confess that you're the faithful God who keeps covenant to 1,000 generations of those who love you. In Jesus' name.
This is Paul Mills again. I pray that this message has blessed you. This ministry is possible only through the faithful prayers and financial gifts of God's people. Please pray for us and make a financial contribution so that we can continue to reach people around the world with the message of hope in Jesus Christ. You can give online by clicking the Giving tab at the top of the website, or you can give by mail to the address also listed on the Giving page. All gifts are sincerely needed, appreciated, and are tax deductible. Thank you for helping us reach the world for Christ.